Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It's great to have you here on this Carol's Night, and I'm looking for some audience participation. I'm in a research mode, and I'm just trying to work out how love is shown. You thought I might have sorted that out by the time I turned 30 last week, but I'm in research. I went to an Inform website, and they had a range of recommendations. I'm just using two tonight, one for guys, one for gals. First one for the guys. Here's the recommendation. The way, men, that we show love to the woman in our life is we organise to have the oil changed in her car. I need participation. I would like the guys, don't look around. No one's noting it. I want guys, put up your hands if that's the way you show love to the woman in your life. And I'm just going to scan. My follow-up question is completely redundant, which was, which of you guys actually changes the oil for the lady in your life as an expression? It's ridiculous to even ask. I'm going to move to the ladies. Here's the recommendation. Ladies, one way, a significant way that you can show love to the special man in your life is by writing and singing a love song. And ladies, there was a lot of mirth when you realised that the men in your life did not have grease on their hands. So I would like the women to actually raise their hands who show their love by writing and singing a love song. And we're going to start the wave. It's like a Mexican love wave. That's impressive. That's 2 out of 500 people gathered. Either we are not a very loving bunch, or I've gone to the wrong website. The website WikiHow does get some things right. It speaks about love as an action word. So when you think about love, it's not some warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not maybe like a sensation that runs down your spine and then you realise that the love of your life is dripping their ice pole down your back. I mean, it does encompass emotions. It does encompass feelings. But it's not simply that. Yes, it's in there, but it's much more than that. Love is a doing word. It's a verb. It's active. And as wonderful as human love is, as essential as human love is, we all know that human love is not perfect. That's the reality. It's not perfect. There are fractures that are tears that come across our hearts of love. Now think about it. I mean, the root cause for why there's a reversal of those faces looking at each other, and we know it happens in all walks of life, the root cause is that we put ourselves ahead of the other person. And if you then move out of our little personal universe and look on a cosmic scale, then that's what's happened between mankind and our Creator. Think about it this way. When we put our worship of everything and anything above and beyond the only one who is worthy of worship, then there's a major fracture. And this root problem, endemic throughout mankind, through the human race, is simply described by a three-letter word in Scripture by sin. And God, who by very definition, we read God is love, so God who is love, he does something about this diabolical problem. He's actually the only one who can come and deal with the fracture that's happened vertically between us and God and the fracture that happens between us horizontally with other people. He's the only one who can deal comprehensively with fractures. He's the only one who can deal comprehensively with sin. You see, love is a doing word. And God, by his very definition, the one who is love, says these words through the Apostle John in his first letter. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only, think of unique, think of incomparable. He sent his unique, his incomparable Son into the world. And if you've been coming to carols for some years, maybe that just sort of drifts over your mind, but I want you to camp on it. This is stunning. God is in a cattle feeding trough. But Jesus didn't start in a cattle feeding trough, because he's always existed. He existed before creation. In fact, Scripture says he is the Creator. All things have been created by him and for him, and all things are held together by him. The second person of the Trinity has come amongst us. Jesus is God in human flesh. Think of it this way. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen who? You've seen God. You've seen Jesus, you've seen God. The living God, I find this every Christmas, and I've said it many years here, every Christmas I find this harder and harder to understand. The living God comes and takes on human flesh, hair, bones, blood. This is no ghost, this is no mirage. He takes on human flesh. But why? I mean, why would the living, all-powerful God so humble himself? Why would he do such an inconceivable thing? And with that question in our mind, the Apostle John continues in that verse, 1 John 4:9, and answers it. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, purpose, so that we might live through him. The purpose that Jesus came, took on human flesh, is that we might live through him. If you're not connected to Jesus, then what we regularly refer to as life, it's actually just simply physical existence. You can only have life, genuine life, by being connected to the one who is the very source of life. And that is the Lord Jesus himself. And we receive this extraordinary gift by being connected to the one who is life. Life is in the Son. And Jesus offers life to everyone who turns to him. When we say turn to him, it means we turn as in repentance and we put our faith and trust in him. That is, we rely on him and we worship him and him alone. Friends, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his unique, he sent his incomparable Son into the world so that we, all of us, might live through him. God comes. Love comes down. But we talked about this root problem. I mean, how does this in itself deal with this deadly virus? Because we know, you don't have to be a theologian, we know it's a deadly virus. Sin corrupts the creation, it corrupts relationships, it corrupts our very body. How does God coming amongst us actually deal with this fundamental problem across all cultures, all races, across all time? How is it dealt with? And to understand it, you must connect Christmas with Easter. See, John says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his unique Son into the world so that we would live through him. Listen to verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God. It's the most magnificent verse. But that God loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's a magnificent verse. What does pure love, what does pure love look like? It looks like a holy, loving God who comes himself as our Saviour. The angel announced to the shepherds, today in the town of David, remember the words? A Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, he is the Christ, he is the King, he is the Lord. So this is how it was. It was a silent night like any other. When heaven sent the one we call our Saviour. Redemption begins in a stable in Bethlehem. This was truly God, worshipped in a tattered blanket. Love was finally here, sleeping while the world awakened. And redemption begins with a baby in Bethlehem. Love came down. You want to understand and get a grip on what pure love looks like? Then I want you to come with me back to first century Palestine, and I want you to come to an animal feeding trough, because the living God took on human flesh. In love, he did it. In order to reveal himself to mankind. This baby cries for the first time. The world hears the voice of God weep. Mary sings a lullaby as the hope of the nations gently falls asleep. She knows this is the one child to forever change the world. Do you want to understand and get a grip on what pure love looks like? Then go to the animal feeding trough. And then go to the cross. Because the living God came, he took on human flesh in love to provide salvation, to provide genuine freedom. You see, love came down as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It's a magnificent story of the good news of the gospel. Jesus had to be fully God and fully man to be that perfect sacrifice. So in the book of Romans, it's explained this way. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we, while I, while Rod, while you, while each of us were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, on this carol's night, beautiful night, I want you to understand that Jesus came to earth so that you, and I mean each of you, so that each of you would know him. He took on human flesh, as incomprehensible as that is, so that every one of us, both generally but specifically, individually, so that each of us would know him. His name's Emmanuel. He's the living God. He comes and he dwells with us. And the one who comes actually has a longing. He has a longing for every one of us. He longs for us. His heart's desire is that we would have freedom. And I want to assure you, the living God who's come in human flesh, he has the power to break every bondage that holds us back from freedom. He has the power and he has the loving desire to free us. To free us from all that stuff that we don't want to tell someone else about, but we know inside it just weighs us down and we wish we could just throw it overboard because of the damage it does to us inside. He has the power and he has the love to deal with it. All that stuff that corrupts within. He has the power to save and bring freedom. and he has the loving desire to do it. And that means when you turn to him, you can be 110% confident that he'll deliver. You turn to him and he delivers, and he brings freedom. We turn to him and we find rest. We turn to him and we find healing. We turn to him as the ultimate source of blessing. The very goodness of God flows into us. We are adopted into God's own family, his very sons and daughters. And we have life, not just physical existence. The good news just keeps on going. We are declared right before a holy God. We have peace. Doesn't mean we don't go through life with problems, but in the midst of storms, we can have peace. In the midst of storms, we can have joy, a contentment in the Lord. And we have hope. Not, I hope this is going to be the case. This is hope, a certain confidence in the future. We have, in fact, the living God himself. There is only one way to be connected to God the Father, and it's through his Son, the Son who came that Christmas 2,000 years ago. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He is the living God. So I want to appeal to you on this carol's night. I don't want you to leave the baby in the manger. I don't want you to leave a body on a cross. You're not going to find a body in a tomb because it's empty. Jesus rose. He is triumphant. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has total power, and he has total authority, and he beckons all to come to him in love. Love has come down. And the loving call is for me and every one of us to bow before him, to embrace him, to put our total trust in him. If I was making a sales pitch, I would say this. There is no downside in being intimately connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be truly alive. You'll be truly free. You'll be truly complete. All of the angels lifted their voices. They filled the night with hallelujahs. God is with us now. Everyone come, join the heavenly chorus. Our Saviour King is here before us. All to hear the sound. The song creation sings, when love came down.
So this is how it was.